Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
1 Kings, tonight the majority was wrong. As we are nearing the end of our study in 1 Kings, we are seeing the results of a divided nation, the 10 tribes to the north called Israel, the 2 tribes in the south called Judah. Neither one really was doing that great before God, but especially the northern kingdom had a terrible problem with gross idolatry, and King Ahab had the dubious honor of being the most wicked king they ever saw. Can we digress for a minute and think about the sin that God has brought to the forefront about this man and about the nation? Idolatry. I want you to think about this. God is very serious about people worshiping Him. What's the big deal? I don't want to go to church. What's the big deal? I don't think you have to do this. What's the big deal? Something else is replacing God. It is very important that we live for our God, the one who sent His Son to pay for our eternal soul. It would be only right that we would serve Him. King Ahab has carried the banner of idolatry, and God has tried after 2 serious attacks by Syria against Israel, and He has miraculously delivered to show His hand to the king. And yet that man still will not submit to the God of all creation, the only true God. We're going to be taking a large chunk of Scripture tonight. This is another one of those, if we take it and drill down on it, you can get mired in detail. Not that the detail in the Scripture is unimportant, but to keep the flow of our study, we're going to glean truths from this passage that are meaningful, and in your time, you can do a personal study if you would like, and I know you would be blessed by it, on the detail in this passage. 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 28. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramah in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? He said unto Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat is a descendant of David, who is now the king of Judah. And he said to Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Well, there is one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good things concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten thither, Micaiah the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah made him horns of iron, and he said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spoke unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good words unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, What the Lord saith unto me, that I will speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered them, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. And the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go to an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah, carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in prison, feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you. This passage has two great divisions. Ahab seeks to recover Ramoth-Gilead from Syria after 3 years of peace. He asked Jehoshaphat to align with him. That's verses 1 to 4. And verses 5 to 28, we have the advice coming to Ahab and Jehoshaphat. The false prophets tell of complete victory. Micaiah tells of the disaster in the battle to come. Let us consider 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 29. Now, if you stop and think about that, obviously we're crossing a chapter division. I'm doing this intentionally because when we read the Bible, be careful that you don't stop your thought process at the end of a chapter. Now, that can be true maybe in the Proverbs or the Psalms or some other books, but as a general rule, when you're talking the story of history, let it flow. So we're going to end chapter 21 and go into our text today. Verse 29 of 1 Kings 21, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbles himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon this house. And they continued 3 years. So that was God speaking to Elijah. Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself? I will not bring the evil upon him. I will do it in his son's house. And they continued 3 years. After these two great battles that God is trying to get Ahab's attention, would you please acknowledge that I am the King of Kings, Lord of Lords? And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. God had miraculously delivered them twice into his hands. And now, hey, wait a minute. We lost Ramoth-Gilead. Verse 2, it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth-Gilead is ours? And we be still? And take it not out of the hand of king of Syria? I want you to get something very subtle in this passage. You can note this in Scripture. It says, the king of Judah came down to the king of Israel. Now, he was, of course, leaving Jerusalem. And when you read in the Scripture, you will often find you go up to Jerusalem. It's God's city. It's where the temple is. And he is coming down to meet with this wicked king. When you go to meet someone wicked, it's a step down. Be careful how you behave yourself. Jonah, when he fled from the Lord, he went down to Joppa. He found a ship and he went down into it and he paid the fare. Be careful when we leave the places of God that he has for us. So it is, after that second campaign, Ben-Hadad had promised to return the cities back to Israel. But as you study this, he didn't return all of them. And here, case in point, Ramoth-Gilead. And you have to stop and think, I wonder if Ahab had not given mercy to Ben-Hadad that this battle would have all been unnecessary. This battle is coming up. Because he didn't do right, which he should have. 3 years later, we're going to have to still fight that battle. Verse 4, and he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Now, don't we kind of remember talking about Ben-Hadad? Ahab said, wait, he's my brother. Instead of saying, now, wait a minute, what does God want me to do? This is, in essence, what Jehoshaphat is saying. What are you thinking? Yoo-hoo, anybody in there? Now, what happens is you read in this passage about some genealogies and names. I'm going to cut to the quick on this. Omri was a wicked king in the northern kingdom. He had a son named Ahab, who has been the key player between him and Elijah recently. And Ahab, of course, was wicked. Omri was wicked. Ahab was wicked. And it's a little confusing in the text, I must admit. When you read about Athaliah, she's the daughter of Ahab, but she's also referenced as the daughter of Omri. It's a little confusing. Could it have been the daughter and granddaughter had the same name? I'm not going to worry about it. Maybe there's an explanation that I haven't discovered yet, but this fact remains. The son of Jehoshaphat, the son of the king of Judah, married Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab or Omri. That's really what matters, this marriage that now unites these two nations. And this is going to be a problem. And so it is now. It's sticky. Because now it's not able to just make decisions on national affairs. That's my in-laws. But technically, it's their in-laws anyway, because nations of Jacob. But now it's a little more personal. So it is that this marriage unites, and Jehoshaphat has said, yes, I will go with you into battle. And if you remember here in the text, they take their thrones and they sit in the gate of Samaria. And you, I'm sure, there was pomp and circumstance probably as they assembled. And here are these two earthly speaking, powerful men. And yet it's going to be a mess because Jehoshaphat is aligning with someone he shouldn't have, and it's a mess because Ahab aligned with somebody that he shouldn't have. And the Bible warns Christians in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be careful. Be careful. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Okay, so Jehoshaphat is, come on, why don't you lead us in some spiritual advice here? Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. No, Jehoshaphat just said, let's look at the word of the Lord for his advice. And he gathers the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go unto Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I forbear? They said, go up. For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Jehoshaphat obviously recognized, wait a minute, guys, you're not with the program. I have trouble believing that he doesn't know about Mount Carmel and the fire from heaven and the 3.5-year drought and the rain miraculously came. I believe he had to know about that. So it is that these 400 false prophets, now if you remember the story of the contest on Mount Carmel, there were 400 prophets, but they were all slain. These have to be replacements. So we now, at least we know 3 years have passed. Exactly how many have passed, we don't know, but time has passed. They have these new prophets. And this is where Ahab is saying, let's get our counsel. And Jehoshaphat, verse 7, said, is there not a prophet of the Lord? Besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, well, there's one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Well, at least he doesn't, you know, mix words. You know where you stand with Ahab. I hate you. When Elijah walked up, he said, oh, you found me, my enemy. He just really had a wonderful way of greeting people. These false prophets that tell them that they will be victorious over Syria. And Jehoshaphat says, no, we want to get a real prophet. Now, this already ought to be sending up flares. You are aligning with a people that don't want to hear Jehovah. This should have sent flares all over the place. Is there not a prophet here of the Lord? Did you notice that Ahab didn't say, because what did we just end with in the last chapter? Elijah. He didn't say, well, Elijah's back on the scene. He hated him too. Didn't even want to breathe his name. Elijah was not the only one to serve God. Case in point, Micaiah. Folks, we're not the only ones on this earth serving God. Let us ever remember that God has people. And he works through a lot of his churches. Many of his churches are out there faithfully serving. When Elijah got the attitude, you're the only one, he said, Micaiah will be imprisoned boldly for his preaching. And Ahab would have been wise. No, I've never prophesied anything good to me. Well, did you ever stop and think why? Just maybe he's right. Gee, that never occurred to me. Notice too, when it's calling on the Lord here, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In the King James, that always means, when it's all capitals, Jehovah is the root word. When you see capital L, small O, small R, small D, that's, if you will, the office of God. Ahab knew exactly when Jehoshaphat said, can we inquire of the Lord? He said, Jehovah. No, we've got 400 prophets here. 9, then the king of Israel called for an officer, hasten Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat each on their thrones, having put on their robes in this void, this open place at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And the prophets prophesied. Can you imagine 400 people standing in front of these guys? And verse 11, and Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, made him horns of iron. This guy must have really been creative. He fashions this device to kind of illustrate what is going to happen in this battle. Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. Right. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, and the Lord Jehovah, they used Jehovah there, Jehovah shall deliver it into the king's hand. I mean, didn't he just deliver 2 battles 3 years ago? Verse 13, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him. Now, he got to Micaiah, and he's saying, now, come on, we got to go back here. They're calling for you. Now, here's what I want you to say. Okay, if you know what's good for you, let me give you some advice. Verse 13, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good, if you know what's good for you. Do you realize how much he disrespected this guy? He really didn't believe that he was a prophet of the Lord, and he didn't believe that God was going to speak through him. I mean, I know better than you do, buddy. You know, okay, I've worked around the king long enough. Verse 14, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord Jehovah saith unto me, that I will speak. I don't care what you say. I am going to do what is right. All 400 agree that Israel will go and win. But as we're going to see, the majority was wrong. Just because everybody thinks it's right doesn't mean it's right. Is it what God wants? Unity is not always a sign of godliness. Of course, that real unity is not real unity there. It's not real unity. We're bound by a common cause. And beyond that, folks, we really don't care about each other. Verse 15, so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he, Micaiah, answered and said, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. I want to read this as a quote. Notice what Micaiah says to the kings. To him, it's a humorous scene. So he joins in just for fun. I think he was as sarcastic as any man could be, just as sarcastic as Elijah could be. They were cut out of the same piece of cloth. By the way, Micaiah said, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Immediately the king saw that he was being ridiculed. And I think that's important. If you just read this, you don't realize he's being sarcastic. Sure, go! I believe Micaiah already knows. It wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't know Elijah. And he knows all about the king. He's a godless idolater. Verse 16, and the king said unto them, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Now he's kind of firing back in his frustration. And Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as the sheep that have no shepherd, suggesting that they're going to lose their king. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another said on that matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said, wherewith? How are you going to persuade Ahab to go to battle? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Well, now he's got not only Ahab against him, he's got all 400 prophets against him. You guys are lying prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. Verse 23, now therefore behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Another quote which I liked. This was the nicest way Micaiah could call these prophets a bunch of liars. Verse 24, but Zedekiah the son of Jenana went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide. Buddy, you're going to run for your life. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and of water of affliction until I come to peace. Quote, Zedekiah, the false prophet, struck Micaiah on the cheek. This was an extreme insult. In response to the insult, Micaiah said by implication that the day would come when the false prophets would hide themselves in terror. That time would come when Ahab was dead and Israel was defeated. Then Zedekiah would know what the truth was. Go ahead, throw me in prison. Truth is truth, and truth will prevail. It's interesting. Please look at chapter 22, verse 10. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes. Please go down now to the words of Micaiah the prophet. 22:19. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. You may see two kings sitting here, but I saw the Lord sitting on his throne," and that's what matters. You're sitting here fearful of these two kings. I saw God, and I don't care if you throw me in jail. I'm going to say what I'm supposed to say. Here he's been a little facetious, but he has delivered, in essence, what God wanted him to do. They're going to be scattered. They will have no shepherd, for Ahab will be dead. Chapter 22, verse 19. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said," and went on to tell the story, who is going to be the one to deceive, to guide Ahab into this blunder. These lying spirits. Micaiah strikes him on the cheek. But Micaiah has spoken the truth and suffered for it. He was willing to be imprisoned. He was willing to take abuse to do what God wanted him to do. So it is as we look at this northern kingdom and we see King Ahab. And he is lost in idolatry, and this is the number one sin of Ahab and of the northern kingdom. And now another contest where God is going to be able to show himself mighty, albeit this time, he's going to show it by saying, "You're going to lose, and the king's going to die. I tried to get the message through to you when you won the battle, and then you won the battle again. Well, this time you're going to have to lose the battle and see that I knew that too." Can't we learn while it's still easy? Chapter 22, verse 28, and Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, then the Lord hath not spoken by me." And he said, "Hearken." Remember, they're sitting in the gate of Samaria. There's at least 400 prophets there, and you have to wonder what kind of a gathering's out there. And he says, "Hearken, everybody listening? Pay attention. Every one of you, did you hear what was said?" God is trying so hard to reach these people. And one man is standing up and saying the truth. We must stand for truth, even when we're outnumbered. And remember that if people don't want to hear truth, doesn't mean it's not truth. Truth is truth. Speak truth. It shall prevail. God has worked and worked and worked, starting with the life of Elijah and trying to reach his chosen people. What a state of affairs God's people can get themselves into. Let us dedicate ourselves to learn from passages like this that we have a good walk with the Lord.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.